The Holy Spirit. There is only one God, but there are three persons in the one God: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Together they make up the Trinity. The relationship between them can be characterized as one of love. The Father loves the Son reciprocates that love, and the love between them is the Holy Spirit. That relationship of love is important. It is the most important aspect of the Trinity, because it is the essence of each of those persons. God is love. All three members of the Trinity play a part in the creation of everything. We read in Genesis, "Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." And in the Nicene Creed, we proclaim, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible." And at the beginning of John's Gospel, we read, "The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." God created the universe, but he is not like a clockmaker who winds up the universe and then goes off for a coffee break. God keeps everything moving. He is constantly creating the universe. Creating the universe is no mean feat. When you think about the size of the universe, you discover that it is an unimaginably vast space full of galaxies of stars, mostly arranged in clusters, black holes, and huge uninhabited voids. It is estimated that the diameter of the universe is 93 billion light years. The Holy Spirit plays his part in keeping all of that in existence, moving and orbiting. But think of the number of atoms or subatomic particles that must exist. A person could go insane trying to take it all in. And yet God sustains every tiny particle, every molecule, every object, animate or inanimate, all creatures great and small. There is an enormous amount of power that is required to keep the universe in the manner to which it has become accustomed. And that power is, quite simply, love. This is why we human beings do not need to be crushed by the immensity of God's power, by his awesome majesty, or his all-pervading presence. When we realize that the essence of God is not terror, but rather love, we can dare to approach him with what we think of as our petty human concerns and needs. As the writer to the Hebrews says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." The God of superhuman intelligence and inconceivable power is intimately concerned with our lives. He is so interested in how we are getting on planet Earth that he actually visited us in the form of a man, Jesus. And it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus worked miracles, preached the gospel, and had the courage to die for us and rose from the dead. But if the Holy Spirit is a spirit, how can we detect him? And what difference does it make to us if we can't see him, hear him, or touch him? We can communicate with the Holy Spirit through prayer. In personal prayer, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. As St. Ignatius of Loyola puts it, God is constantly trying to break into our lives with love. The Holy Spirit wants to communicate love to us. He wants us to know that God loves us individually and intimately, and he wants us to begin living out of that love. Of course, there are obstacles to perceiving the Holy Spirit. For one thing, in our modern world, we are constantly bombarded with distractions: the latest news, social media, sports results, video clips and online entertainment, general anxiety or depression, and the busyness of life. Another obstacle to perceiving God's love is the lies we believe about God. The enemy of our souls would have us believe that God is anything but loving. He tells us God is angry with us, or that he withholds his love until such times as we prove that we are virtuous enough to merit it, or that he wants to punish us for our sins, or our misdemeanors, or our failings. The truth is that God's love is unconditional, that there is nothing we need to do to earn it or to keep it, and there is nothing that we do that diminishes his love for us. His love is not contingent on our good behavior. At our baptism, the Holy Spirit took up residence in us and is waiting for our response to his love. He will not coerce us or strong-arm us into a loving relationship with him. But he is constantly inviting us to, as Psalm 34 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He communicates love to us in numerous ways, through the love of other people, through spiritual consolation when we feel the loving presence of God in prayer, through answering our prayers when we are in need, and through healing us of our physical or emotional or psychological wounds. Sometimes he will speak to us interiorly in words of comfort or encouragement. Sometimes he will put into our minds an image that helps us to understand what he is doing in our life. In addition to that, he can speak through us using the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is one way in which we can allow the Holy Spirit to speak, usually using a language that only he can understand. It is a language of prayer and praise to God. The Holy Spirit can also give us messages for other people, words of encouragement or prophetic directives that inform their decision-making, or words and images that help to identify what actions God is taking in someone's life to heal them and guide them. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended on the apostles and empowered them to spread the good news, to heal and to work miracles, to preach and teach, to love one another and to baptize others. The apostles were baptized in the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, but that baptism is also available to us. For those of us who have been baptized as infants, and most of us were, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a release of the power that lay within us through that sacrament. The Holy Spirit is present in all of the sacraments and can empower us to resist the sinful life that the enemy wants to drag us into. We can avail ourselves of the power of the Holy Spirit by going to the sacraments of reconciliation and the Eucharist regularly. The enemy engages us in battle in order to weaken our faith, lead us into sin, and eventually lead us to hell. But we have our own weapons that we can use in the spiritual battle. In St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 6, the first item of spiritual armour he mentions is the belt of truth, which we must fasten round us. So what we can do to combat the evil one's lies is to declare the truth about God and about our own status as beloved children of a loving Father. Another item in the soldier's arsenal is the shield of faith, with which, St. Paul tells us, we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The flaming arrows often manifest themselves as despondency, desolation, and despair. When we have faith in a loving God who only wants to help us, to heal us and to love us, we can resist the temptation to despair, no matter how hard the battle is to fight. The Holy Spirit is alive and active and can protect us, encourage us, and empower us. All we have to do is ask. Let's do that now with this prayer. Holy Spirit, cleanse my body, my mind, and my spirit of all sin. Awaken in me a desire to respond to the love that you offer me. Help me to hear your voice amidst all the noise of the world. Help me to love others with your love, not with my own weak, changeable human love. Most of all, give me the grace to surrender to you, so that in your time I might become holy and at last enter into the joys of heaven. Amen.